Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Humans, after 12 years, we have parted ways with the corporate networks. We are taking it to the next level with our own independent platform, ImprovForHumans.com. We're not just continuing the show. We have created a hub for you all to go deeper into the craft of improv with me, Brett, and all the guests that you love so much from Improv for Humans, along with a ton of new exclusive podcast and content. Not only will you still find new ad-supported episodes available free every week, as always, but now, with our new Rule of Four subscription, only $40 for a year, $4 a month, you get ad-free new episodes every week with bonus scene, exclusive access to the entire back catalog. That's over 600 episodes, all ad-free. Four brand new improv education podcasts I call Professor Besser, where I will break down classic Improv for Human scenes, take questions from the members-only Discord, explore, debate the craft with other improv experts. Have you heard me talk with Will Hines and Ian Roberts yet? And I have also uploaded my vault of VHS tapes from the Stone Ages, the 90s, the early aughts, featuring tons of never seen footage, as well as what I believe to be the greatest comedy movies that I will share with you with other guests. Sketches, performances, stand-up bits. Wait till you see this all on Professor Besser. Plus, I have this whole other feed, The Best Taste in the Universe, where I deep dive with guests on music and sci-fi. On that, just whole separate feed, but it's all part of the Rule of Four subscription. Plus, you get all four of our premium limited series Brett and I made with all-star casts, including Stolen Idea, My Dead Wife, The Robot Car, The States of Perfection, and Besser versus the Audience. And for the first time ever, all of our content can be listened to virtually any podcast app. Gone are the days of needing separate apps to get all this stuff. The sign-up process could not be easier. It just takes one step, one tap to import each of our feeds into your app, and then you can just listen like any other show. All this for $4 a month individually, or $40 for an entire year. That's 2 months of savings. Humans, $40 for 1 year right now. Humans, you know, leaving the corporate network I mentioned earlier, that makes producing a podcast with three paid guests not as easy, but it is a labor of love for Brett and I. By subscribing, not only are you allowing us to make new episodes, you're supporting our ensemble and empowering all sorts of new content that's already up for you to take a taste of. Just for $4, go taste it, humans. If nothing else, you won't have to hear this message again. So go to improvforhumans.com and sign up now.
We need your help.
Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests.
Ronnie Iffy, welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me. Keep it going, Brett. Turn up just a little bit. Ministry. Still cranking it out. This is like a year old, Brett.
Hell yeah.
Welcome, Iffy, Ronnie.
Hey,
How's it going?
How is it going?
And yeah, I know. I feel like that was a very meek entrance for me and Ronnie after that, like, hard rock.
It was like, yeah, and you're a wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's us, the boys.
Yeah, not that you can speak for me, also, obviously. When you said me and him, I didn't say a thing. So
yeah. You know,
assume the audience is visualizing you, and that's enough.
Yeah, he was just cracking his knuckles on the Zoom, just like you know, you should have did it close to the mic so people can see.
Yeah. Well, now I've already done it, so I can't. It's gonna take a little while before to get that tension back in my knuckles.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Welcome back to the show, y'all. It's a rare rainy day in LA. That's why energy is sometimes low. We don't know what to do with ourselves. But you know, the opposite of rain is sun. Have you guys seen this show, The Brother's Son, on Netflix?
I've only seen the first four episodes.
I put it on my queue. I just watched December. So it's gonna it's next up.
Okay, I'm enjoying it a lot. What about you, Ronnie?
I like it so far.
Okay, but what do you think I'm gonna bring up from the show that just sticks out to fellas like you and I?
The notion that the kid is also an improviser. He does improv.
Yes, in the most major plot way I've ever seen improv involved in any television show, I guess BoJack had a big plot.
Yeah.
But they, and Ronnie, in the first episode when they mentioned one of the characters is an improviser, didn't you think it was going to be a one-off joke? Did you think it would come back as strong in every episode?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think they would lean into it as much as they did. or as much as they are as it stands as me at episode four.
I'm in episode three, so, or maybe I'm in episode four. I can't remember. But yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, to Danielle, I'm like, I can't believe this. They won't stop taking shots at improv.
Yeah.
Because the basic joke is there's two brothers, and one of them is just this fucking hard ass assassin and can kill like 12 people easily. And the other guy's just like us. He's just an improviser in LA. And it defines why he's soft pretty much in general. What do you think about that, Iffy, as an improviser and a bodybuilder?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you're looking at the general landscape, I'd understand why you would think that, but that definitely means you haven't came to the big team show. You definitely haven't seen, let me think of some other buff improvisers.
I'm not buff, but I can get in there and fight.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the part about that I felt like the inside baseball guy. So, you know, like when people watch something, when it's like, oh, it's a science movie, and a scientist is like, there's no way that would be, that's not the equation of how you would solve, you know, that sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
Okay. When it came to improv, like, I felt like that because I don't know if it already happened yet. I'm not going to spoil it, but there is a part where they sort of get, where you get to see the improv and at the place that they're improvising and stuff.
I'm on episode three. Yeah, oh, Jesus.
And all this type of stuff. And every part of me was like, that's not how that works. That's not how this goes.
Okay.
That's not how that would happen. That's not how they do. It's like, so I became such a snob, and I was like, all this is wrong.
They were like, let's have an audience member come up, and then you're going to be a character like improv.
It's like, so I was so like, that part sort of annoyed me.
Which is like wild if you kind of consider, like, out of all the writers, not one of them has been an improviser, that not one. Like, I feel like our hit rate is pretty high when it comes to writer's rooms. So for them to have an inaccurate improv scene, I'm either going
to
assume.
It came off to me like one of them dated someone that was an improviser, and this was revenge. like all the characters saying, oh, yeah, that's the ones that like it are always going, oh, yeah, that's where they make it up as they go along.
Yeah.
Matt, as a person who's been doing improv as long as you have, some might even people listening might even label you an improv czar. You ever
for
seen
guru, never czar. Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a movie or an improv movie or something where improv is sort of like heavily into the plot? So even if it's like whatever one that Birbiglia did and all those type of stuff, have you ever seen a movie that you were like, okay, I feel good that I think they got this right, or is no or no yet?
I don't know that I've seen it that much, but it's probably been all, you know, don't think twice. Yeah. You know, that was pretty, I don't know. There was a lot of that was like, okay, that's some improv theaters, not necessarily the UCB, and there's a difference in shades of gray in all the theaters. But to also piggyback on what you're saying in general and what all our listeners can relate to, whether you're an improviser or not, is when you never know till you know. And whatever the listener's expertise is, whatever their job is, you don't know anything about other people's jobs and shit. So you can, whatever you see in a movie or TV show, you're like, or the scientist, as you put it, you're just like, okay, I guess that's the way it is. You just trust that's what it is.
100%.
And then you see your world and you're like, what the fuck? And if it's in TV show, you're slightly annoyed. If it's in a fucking news article, you're pissed off.
Yeah.
Because now it's like facts all of a sudden. You're like, what the fuck? I think Brett and I were talking about this in podcasting a couple episodes ago. It's like, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And not only that, they're now spreading misinformation by this skewed angle that they're putting on it. And in TV, when it's joking, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
When it's a journalist, you're like, motherfucker, you're lying about our world. And I guess all our listeners possibly have that in their own lives of like, the world really has no idea how my job works or what really goes on.
Right.
All right, everyone, get in here. I got the hot new story. I got the hot new
story. All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
So finally.
I know we've been trying to, you know, do these kind of slice of life stories for the paper to kind of give people a taste of other lifestyles.
Yeah.
And I really kind of been listening to a bunch of, you know, these comedy pods out here and, you know, the lavish life that they've been living. And I think I want to cover, you know, what a day in the life of an improv podcaster. You know, I'm thinking we start in a mansion. You know, he goes to his special studio. He invites, you know, his improviser buddies, and they come down there and, you know, they go over the script, you know, they go over the script that they're going to do. They hit record. And next thing you know, they're doing an improv pod.
When you hit it right there and they go over the script because they're cutting out the writers, not crediting the writers.
Exactly.
With all that went on in the last strike, it's these podcasts that are, it's not the corporations, it's the podcasts that are abusing the writers.
Yeah, see, Daryl, see, you always know how to find the take. You know, I lob up the idea, you get the take. And I think that's what we should run, probably front page, unpaid writers on these improv pods, fat cats.
You know what? I once dated an ex, and I broke up with her immediately after I found this out, but she also used to do improv.
Oh.
And she would
text. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It was definitely... I didn't get over it for a while because she catfished me. She made it seem like she was someone of ambition, and turns out she was an improviser. But a thing that she would always point out was that seemingly improvisers don't make money.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. And I think if we're saying improvisers don't make money, somebody's making money. Where's the money going from?
Where is it?
And if this person that we're following this person must be the cult leader of the improv thing, and he's taking all their money and then therefore putting it back into whatever he wants, which who knows what that is.
Oh,
trying to get onto Elon Musk's shuttle or something. Like,
well, Elon Musk and his AI technology that he's now implanting in people's brains, he's getting volunteers for, and the real
problem. Oh, by the way, great story last week on that. Like, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah. Hey, I know. I'm still holding it in my hand as I'm pitching this story. It was.
Oh, we still print?
Yeah. We're still holding it down in a print. And I just, what I do is I print the web page out. And that way, you know, if I hear someone at the coffee shop talking about, you know, the local ongoings, I just hand them that. I'm like, how about you feast your eyes on that while you sip your latte?
Where are the premises coming from?
Yeah.
Because there's writers, but where do they get the premises?
Oh, I think it's plants. Like, when we see it live, I think the people that are shouting out words, quote unquote, are plants.
So they've
already
had their
thing already put together. And then they put somebody in the audience that says, hey, make sure that you say this word so we can then do something off that word.
Who's controlling the plants? The people on stage?
It has to be.
Are some of the plants actually, we cut to some plants in the theater right before they let the real audience in. All right, plants, we got to get you out in the real actual line outside. So you got to put your coffees down and get outside in the real line pretty soon. You got 5 minutes.
Okay, but I got a question. I'm already forgetting it. What is the suggestion that you want me to shout out?
Okay, you should have gotten the list. Let me look here. Ladder.
Okay.
Let's see. Fireman. That's too close to ladder. You shouldn't even use that. But I guess they want ladder in the first one. Have you guys not coordinated who's shouting out the first suggestion?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. What are you going to shout?
Well, as everybody knows, I've been doing this for the last 3 months, obviously. Yeah. And the problem that happened last time was we were shouting, or we would like take turns of like, okay, you say the first word, they do another half, then you say the second word and that type of thing. But what we were finding, what we found out was that there were regular people also getting bold and shouting words. So it would sometimes leave the improvisers on stage stuck because they clearly heard the word that wasn't their word first. So then what they said to us is, now we have to say it louder. And we also have to be the first. So now multiple of us have to just say a word. And so a word like, that's why the words are close together, because a word like fireman and ladder, they can still do their planned scenes off
of.
Got it. So that's why those words are so close together. But we have to say it loud and make sure that we're the first ones to say it.
Also,
to
guys,
some of the other people.
And thank you for bringing this up. We wanted to address this week. If you see anyone talking about a suggestion, they're going to shout out a suggestion before the show, you got to tamp that shit down.
Oh,
you got to bully them. Let them know you're going to be giving the suggestion. If you're not comfortable with bullying them, say it's your birthday, but you tell them to shut it down.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid of a little body contact. Okay.
Got it.
If you see some jackass just really laying into some suggestion every single time, give him a little bump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now, is our backstory still the same? Because we are two visually Mr. Universe candidates. So therefore, it looks a little awkward sometimes that we're standing in a line to go see improv. But is our backstory still the exact same?
Wait, is it weird that you're together or that you're just in the line at all?
I think not together. I think you could see like, oh, those two seem like they would be hanging out. But the fact that, you know, that build it sort of stands out amongst the crowd of other improv.
You're right. Watchers. Definitely don't. In fact, be on opposite sides. We cut to the theater, and now they're on opposite sides of the room. We cut to a couple that's right in the middle. And look, there's one bodybuilder over there. And then, like, on the exact opposite side of the room, there's another bodybuilder. They're kind of, I bet they're enemies. What do you think?
I mean, what are they even doing here?
I know they're by themselves. And they're both just so much bigger. Oh, boy, I sure do love
comedy. That's, you know, my personal trainer said the comedy helps.
Who's he talking to?
Muscle breakdown.
Why is he screaming so loud?
Who's he talking to?
I don't even know. I have no idea. He's looking around.
Look at the other one. The other bodybuilder has flop sweat. What is going on with these guys?
I'm ready to laugh. I'm so ready to laugh. I just love live comedy that's unplanned.
What the hell? They must be rivals.
What's wrong with these guys? Maybe, do you think maybe this is one of those shows where a celebrity could pop in. Do you think they're like a bodyguard for maybe like The Rock or somebody? Maybe we're going to get a surprise guest and they're like the bodyguard or something?
That's weird that one you guessed that needs a bodyguard is like one of the biggest celebrities in Hollywood.
I guess it's just wishful thinking. I really want to see The Rock.
I would think like maybe Daniel Radcliffe will pop in and that's his bodyguard.
Yep. Just enjoying a comedy. Love a good chuckle. That's my cardio. Yep. Yep. Chuckling is my cardio. That's why
these guys are making me uncomfortable. I feel like something's about to go down.
I wouldn't leave, but I have to know if it's The Rock. I have to know if it's The Rock that comes out.
And I have to give my suggestion. I thought of a funny word today.
We should all think about what our suggestions are going to be and take, don't just rush to say them. Don't just rush to say them.
I've been thinking take for a weeks. Second. I've been thinking for
the
weeks.
The opposite of what he's saying, don't say anything. don't say anything.
All right, folks, we're about to start the show, if we can quiet down. And what we do on this first form, which is called the slacker, we're just going to start off with a simple word. When I say the word, the group's going to come out here and begin. So may I have a one-word suggestion, please?
Fireman!
And we cut to... after the show in an alley behind the theater, there's police cars everywhere, squad lights on. We see the guy had shouted pineapple. He's been trampled and just beat to death in the alley. We just want to ask some questions. We understand there were some odd things happening in the theater before the show started. People yelling out about their love of comedy, and both you gentlemen both seem to be yelling out about your love of comedy, and I'm just guessing you both seem to be bodybuilders.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, officer. Are we saying that it is now illegal to love comedy?
No, it's just reported that you were behaving erratically before the show started, and that you had a lot of flop sweat. And since someone was beaten to death out here.
Well, obviously, you know, as a bodybuilder, you sweat a lot. The sweat is just, you know, you're old, like a lot of your weakness leaving your body.
Yeah, he has a high carnitine intake, which raises his body heat. So he's in cutting season.
Yeah, you know each other? Wait a minute, you know each other?
No, I'm just, you know, as a bodybuilder, I kind of know a carnitine user when I see one.
Yeah, yeah, great guess, stranger. That's 100% true.
We need your help.
Your one-word suggestion from Discord.
Not all improvisers are soft.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
now
the
you
lesson.
Know. Now you know.
Yeah, we proved the point.
Yeah.
Well, I hope in season two we all get cast, and that's sincere.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun time. You know, I feel like they're going to, you know, realize that they've made a mistake and that we had notes, and then we're the first ones they'll come to.
I mean, love an excuse.
Maybe. I will say this. It is a heavily casted Asian show. So we might not be the first on the list, but
well, you know, I feel like we might do.
Was it an all Asian thing? Improv group? I mean, improv theater?
No. It wasn't. Yeah. I can't wait for you to see it, man. I can't wait.
Maybe I spoke about it an episode too soon. I was just continually surprised how they wouldn't drop it.
Nope.
I like improv. It's his whole thing. So we're rocking with it.
So. And he will be a hero eventually. I'm sure we'll be redeemed as improvisers. So Ladder was a suggestion given on our Discord, getting to the real life of us real improvisers, hard or soft. Ladder was given. Boss was another one. Lapse was another one. Any Ladder stories?
I'm trying to think.
Right after my dad passed away, and it was around Thanksgiving, and I was up in New Mexico, and it was snowing, and I was kind of going nuts. And I called my wife once, and she's like, "What are you doing? It sounds like you're outside." I'm like, "I'm shoveling snow off the roof." And she's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Get off the roof." Do you sometimes get in a state where you do something and you look back and you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I feel like that's the most unsafe way to scoop a roof, you know? But I've been reckless. I added like these all-terrain tires to my car because I go snowboarding. And so like I've been feeling invincible. Like I'm like, oh yeah, I ain't worried about snow. But you know, there's no tire that prevents against ice, and I, you know, kind of learned that when you kind of hit that corner, it's like skidding. You're like, okay, I'm not invincible no more. I'm just another car on this.
When you're sliding sideways, have you done that? Like,
hold on a second.
Well, you need to talk to my guy Bruce, my friend of mine, Bruce Wayne. If anybody can get you tires that are impervious to ice, it's him.
Yeah, he has a guy.
Yeah, he has a guy.
We cut to a tire dealership. Well, sir, I can tell you these are our best ice tires, but none of these tires are guaranteed not to slide on ice. So I can't give you that guaranteed, but the way they're grooved, they're heavily grooved, and you see these ridges right here are great for ice. And
okay, because I'm looking for like traction on the ice. Like I was watching that Fast and Furious and there was racing across the ice and I was like, I should make a TikTok. You know, like I should be doing that because you don't see too many like street racers racing on ice. So I would be the first to do it.
Okay, sir. I'm sure that's all special effects and CGI and stuff. And good luck with your TikTok videos. But we only have No, they're experimental and they haven't been tested. Oh,
hold on. I like the sound of that. Hold on. What you got?
You cannot tell anyone about this because I'm not supposed to even sell this yet.
Look, I'm a silent mouse.
This is 2025 Hyundai tires.
Okay. All right.
Especially modified in the back. Do you want to take a look?
Yeah. I'd love to. I'd love nothing more.
Okay, so they walk into the back and they go into the men's room, which seems odd. But then there's this door in the back of one of the stalls that opens up into this, what looks like this cavernous, giant, high-tech laboratory.
Welcome! This is where Hyundai develops all its new technology. Here, get into this suit and take these shoes and these gloves and this mask.
Okay, I'm excited. This looks very cool. You know, I'm a high octane individual, but I'm just gonna, you know, we're keeping secrets. I'm just gonna, are you Batman?
Am I Batman?
Yeah,
oh, I don't know cave. If we'll meet Batman.
Cave and the suit that you handed me has the Batman symbol on it. So you must be Batman, right?
Oh, well, okay. Since we're passing secrets, we all work for Batman. He is here, but you probably won't meet him today. And I really shouldn't have let you back here, but you seem like a guy who really has his heart set on a set of tires. Do you want to look at the tires or what?
Yeah, I'm you know,
we
I'm
can't just kind look of... at this isn't a Batman tour. I'm not gonna show you all the bat suits. There are like 24 different specialized bat suits, and he has all sorts of different cars.
I know, but we up in here might as well, you know, get a quick tour and maybe we might.
You know the cars upstairs?
Hey Jim, I know I see you with somebody, but I just got a question. Do you think that this flamethrower can you hold it? Do you think this is too heavy to travel if he's like diving, or do you think it's like the weight is fine?
Let me see this. It seems pretty good. I don't know. I think it could be a little lighter, like when you're escaping someone, like if he was casual swim, it'd be okay. But if you're escaping someone, especially someone with a superpower that's underwater superpower, I don't know. It could be lighter, a little sleeker. Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Good job, buddy. So it's a lot of fun down here.
Yeah.
Batman's like, just like, go fucking crazy. Just go with your ideas.
Got flamethrowers and all that. I mean.
Yeah, I can't sell you a flamethrower. I can only sell you car stuff that's eventually be on the market.
Okay.
You want to look at those tires? Hey. No. We're not going down there.
Well,
that's Batman's office down there.
I just want to see it.
This like, isn't enough. Cavernous Underground Lair, you got to go to his fucking office.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a Pringles thing. Once you pop, you can't stop. I got to see where he sits, you know?
But his office down here. Like. I should have brought the tires back upstairs. Look, buddy. You can come look at the tire. Hold on. I got to make a phone call. You don't go anywhere.
Okay, I promise I'm going to stay right here. Don't worry.
So we see him head down the hallway that heads towards Batman's office. Whoa. And he passes Robin's office. Here's some music going on, but it's locked shut. And then he sees Batman's office. There's the door's cracked just a little bit.
This is amazing. I wonder if he's in here. Let me just poke my head in. Whoa. Excuse me, sir.
Who goes there?
My name's Terrence. I was.
Do you work for me, Terrence? Do you work for me, Terrence?
Yes, I do. I'm the new guy. I'm actually in the towel department, the bat towels.
Oh, so you're a new guy.
Yeah.
Well, then you know every new person has to fight me in hand-to-hand combat as the initiation to the group.
Okay. Is there like a training period that I get to before I just jump in the ring?
No, we just square up right now. Let me stand up.
Oh, damn, you're so much taller than I thought. You got all...
Yeah, that's people's misconceptions. People think that I'm a short king, but I'm actually pretty tall.
Yeah, you got all the muscles. Didn't we have this fight already? I think we already had this fight, Mr. Man. We can just...
Put your dukes up, Terrence.
Okay.
I told you to stay put. I am so sorry, Mr.
Jim, what's going on here?
Who is this? I wanted to show him the 2025 ICE tires that we're eventually going to release, and I should just brought the tires upstairs, but decided to bring him downstairs, and that was a mistake. I'm so sorry.
So you mean I almost gave the fade to somebody who doesn't even work for me?
I can work
for you. You said you worked for him?
Yeah, I was saying I'm in charge of the bat towels.
Well, Terrence, you will never be able to work for me because you are dishonest. If there's one thing about working for Batman, it's honesty. You see how Jeff admitted immediately that he let you down here?
I never
when he shouldn't have. Mr. Wayne. Honesty. I trust him because I know that he will be honest with me. Terrence. Yeah.
We cut to like a year later, and Batman is in the middle of this huge brawl at the amusement park with the Joker and the Riddler and Penguin. And we see one of the Riddler's henchmen is Terrence. And he runs by Batman.
Hey,
what the?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you wouldn't hire me, so I decided to work for the Joker.
So now,
yeah, yeah, I'm kind of the guy who like yells, "Get him!" I don't actually have to fight, yeah. So I guess if you survive this, it's good seeing you.
Hold on 1 second, I'm working on the catchphrase. I've got your friend, your one of your henchmen in the headlock.
Yeah, yeah.
How about night, night?
We cut to hours later, and Terrence the henchman is dying in Batman's arms. He's been run over by the ice tires of the Batmobile.
Yeah. This never gets easier. I try to just subdue people. I don't try to kill. But here you are, dying in my arms.
You punched me in the head 57 times. Like, if you were trying to subdue me, you could just do two. Like,
they're strategic punches, though. They're in all points of the head that aren't fatal.
Yeah, maybe getting hit once, but you, like I said, it was 57 times.
But with different strengths.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Human, to unlock the bonus scene, you must subscribe to the ad-free version of the show. Exclusively available at improvforhumans.com.
Humans, speaking of game shows, I sent Brett, my buddy, my Beatles buddy, some videos from my daughter's talent show as it was happening.
These were so good.
I don't think Will knew that's what I was sending him. Did he? I couldn't tell. I sent Will Hines to another Beatles fan. Can you share that?
Yeah.
I sent him two clips from the talent show.
Mm.
This was the first one. Before you play it, they said the intro was whatever the kid's name is. This is so-and-so, I think the first grade. From the first grade. And he's going to play Yellow Submarine for the Beatles. I turned to Danielle and I went, there is no fucking way a first grader's playing Yellow Submarine.
All right, I got it.
You know, he was going for it, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't even going for it.
I was going to say, he feels like worse at it than you would even give him credit for.
This feels like one of those things as a kid where you're like, I can do this. And then you get in front of an auditorium full of people and you're like, oh no, what's a chord?
Okay, just to give you a little perspective. This is a school of kindergarten to sixth grade, elementary school. And there were 35 acts.
35?
I know. Oh, good Lord, my friend. And they took breaks after every five acts. I was like, oh, dear Lord, Danielle, I don't know if I can do this. 35. Well, that's important because it comes so up to a question many. I want to ask you guys. But here's the deal. And you guys have seen talent shows through your youth or been in them. There were kids with fucking talent. There were kids who could fucking play the piano. I'm not saying they're like, oh my God, they're going to be a genius when they grow up, but they could proficiently play it and play it fast. And I was going, wow, for a girl in the second grade, that's really fucking good. There's this one girl who her music cue fucked up, her karaoke track, and she sang it a cappella, whatever song she was singing. She fucking nailed it. Wow. I was like, a cappella, not knowing the rhythm of the song, not being there, you fucking nailed it. So it's not mm-hmm. like all kids don't have talent or whatever, or like this talent show is a piece of shit. There were, you could have had a 12 act show that actually would have been talent, including my daughter.
Okay. All right.
No, no, no.
Humbly, but, humbly speaking, of course.
Well, you know, she's doing comedy, my friend. But
what is she doing? She's telling jokes?
There was one act, Ronnie. It was these two second grade girls. There were only like three comedy acts in the 35 acts, but one of them are these two girls in the second grade, and they told like pun jokes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was like three jokes in a row where it was a bunny rabbit hair pun, and the whole audience would go, and they, why did the bunny rabbit buy a comb? Because he was a hare. And then the audience would go, oh, like, like they loved the pun. Yeah. Oh, it's like a fucking Andrew Dice Clay audience. And then the other one, they had this like old school kind of vaudeville music playing under him. And then the other girl would do it trade off. Sydney did, I would say, more of an Albert Brooks type bit. She was supposed to be doing announcements mm-hmm. for the student council who runs the show, and she's on the student council. And she's eating a bag of chips in her first announcement, and her co-announcer's like, Sydney, I can't understand you. And she's like, sorry. Then she's drinking through her second announcement, and she's sneezing through her third announcement. As she's announcing the winner of the million word reader contest, and she goes, the name is Ah Chu. And the other one's like, what's the name of the reader? Her name's Ah Chu. Let's give Ah Chu a big hand. Fucking hilarious.
So let me, is dad coaching her up at home?
Fuck yes. Rewrites. We're up all night. Got punch up. I'm sorry you weren't invited to any of the punch ups.
Hey, baby, wake up. Baby, wake up. Wake up, sweetie.
Yeah.
So, I was going over their, what you said you were going to do for your talent show. I was looking over it.
Yeah.
I think we can beat this.
What do you mean beat this?
I mean, I know everybody's kids and his parents are not expecting much of you, but you're the daughter of a legendary comedian. You can't go on stage and just say this. Like it embarrasses the family.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I was saying it to some of my friends at school, and it was like, what's the deal with Laffy Taffy? I eat it. It tastes good, but it doesn't make me laugh. And they think it's funny. So I was like, okay.
I will give you some leeway. That was kind of humorous. But I think there's more there. Like your delivery could be a little bit better. Obviously, you shouldn't trust your friends. I've met them before. They're the least funniest kids I've ever met. So, you know, and also, what's the deal? We don't start anything with that. We don't do no what's the deal. That's not what we do here in a Besser household. Now, listen.
Okay.
What I want you to do is feel it. Like, okay.
So you walk in, you take a look at your audience, like everything means something, you know, and you have to be useful. Use the stuff around you, like use the elements around you. Everything, be big, right? Right now you're doing it too small, too meek. That's not comedy. Comedy is not small.
Okay.
We cut to the night of the show and we see the dad is backstage and it's 5-6 minutes into what should have been a 3-minute act and the daughter's just milling about on stage. You need to get her off stage.
She will find her natural edit. She will find her natural button.
Did anybody notice the gum that was under the seats? The gum that's under the seats? It's sticky.
Play it up,
right?
Play it up, play it up.
That's sticky, right? That's sticky, right? Sticky gum. It's very sticky. Yabba dabba doo.
Okay, we're gonna you need to move out of the way. I'm gonna close the curtain on this.
If you don't get, stop right now. That is my fucking daughter.
When he looks like he's getting ready to sweat. Ugly. He's ugly.
Honey, big finish. Do your big joke.
And we cut to an hour later. It's like a Dave Chappelle set. It's just, she's just leaning on the mic.
You know, I just think, you know, we shouldn't be held down by what we say about those people. You know, we're free to speak our minds.
Skip this part.
And once again, I'm here every night. Bye. How'd I do that?
The goddamn white trash.
Let's talk some more about that.
That was not far off from the truth. That wasn't even a comedic scene for me. And Danielle was more on the night. Let me get some real examples. Like, I wanted her to be introduced as just student council. Like, you go up there like you're just the student council doing announcements. But I knew they were going to introduce her as like, and here comes Abby and Sydney with a comedy act. And I was like, you tell Mr. James, you don't want that intro. You want just to come up, just like you're saying, play it real. And Danielle was like, they shouldn't even been on the stage. They should have just used the student council mic. And I'm like, I know. She's like, you want to produce this show next year? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do.
You producing that show would, oh my gosh, it'll be so funny. I mean, well, I guess if it's not that many comedy acts, because like, what are you going to do for music? I mean, unless you're going to be just that harsh, like Yellow Submarine Kid, like, what are you going to do? Like, hey, man, just stick with the E. Just put your hand on the E and never change it.
Hold on. Well, this is the question I want to get to, but I want to play the next clip that I sent Brett first. And then I have a big question here. And it's similar to, I think, a sports question we've asked on other shows. This act happened like 5 acts later, and I was like, oh my god, this is the world we're in. So this act was introduced as a DJ.
Three minutes of this.
So, dear listeners, one of the acts, which was introduced as a DJ, just went up on stage with a keyboard that was not any kind of equipment and pretended to be a DJ and jumped up and down the way the DJs do at festivals for 3 minutes straight with techno playing.
That was Diplo's daughter, right?
Your daughter goes to the same school as Diplo's daughter.
Oh my god, I was dying. Laughing. And
do they have to be in the talent show? Like,
that's the question I'm getting to, Ronnie. So this is the question. And especially when you see the juxtaposition of that following like some girl who can really play a piano. And it's up next, DJ, and someone is jumping up and down pretending to be a DJ. I turned to Danielle and I was like, fuck her parents. Fuck them. Sending their kid out there pretending to be a DJ. So the question is, because that's on the parents. It's not on the school or the little girl. It's at what age do you go, okay, you're old enough to actually work on something and have a talent, and you're going to be in a show with other people who do. I'm not going to let you go out there and pretend that you can do something when you can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the, a lot of well-paid DJs are pretending to be a DJ.
For sure. She's got that was fucking hilarious.
I mean, if he as also if somebody is a father.
Oh,
like
look. Matt,
if Naomi... What's your stance on this?
Right.
You know, I am right at that point where I'm trying to decide, you know, what my stance would be. Because like, yeah, she is right at that midpoint where she is learning. There's like, so she, Naomi is going to be 8 in May, 7. And 7 was the year that she learned that she isn't just going to be exceptional at everything. Because I feel like from, from like 3, when they're actually like remembering and realizing the shit that you're saying, you to like to 6, they're doing so much stuff that's exceptional for this person who you used to lay on the ground and they would just lay on their belly and throw up, that you're just always like, oh, you're so great, oh, this is so good, oh, this is good. And then like I remember the exact moment, because she was doing math homework and she had a hard time kind of figuring it out, and she started like sniffling and she was like, am I dumb? And I was like, no, you just have to work at stuff now. Like, it is not just pointing at your fingers and knowing what it is. I was like, if you want to be good at stuff, you could practice. I was like, look at all this stuff you did to get to this point. That used to be hard for you, and now it's easy. And so I'm kind of thinking of whether or not, you know, when am I going to do the talent thing? Because she tumbles. She, you know, she doesn't really, she used to like to sing. She doesn't like singing as much. She liked to dance. But yeah, I am getting to the point where it's like, if we going to do this, we going to do this. You know, like I'm like, we're going to get into it because.
But,
the best
if I may parse it a little, where would you, or what age, if she right now were to say, to do this act I just showed you and say, I want to go jumping up and down and be a DJ. She might have great joy from that. So that's the one side of it is like, hey, if she's having fun, who gives a fuck? And the audience is going to get, I was laughing my ass off at that DJ. That's right. One of the best acts for me from the show. But do you go to, are you fooling them? Is it like Santa Claus?
Yeah. I feel like, with that, I wouldn't let her do that. I would at least have her stumble through a transition. I'm like, look, I got the decks. So you're going to either DJ, but I'm not going to let you stand on stage and jump up and down.
Yeah. What if that's the roast of all time where it's like the mom or the dad is all DJ. So they were like, look, mom, look, dad, I'm you. And they're doing the thing. I'm doing the thing. And so they go on stage and they're having the time of their life. Like as a parent, and this is me. In a scenario where I'm a parent, but I'm also a comedian, and I would go, you know what? If I have to sit there and watch 34 other acts, most of them that stink, then I'm going to make them watch my kid do 3 minutes of bullshit just like they make me watch their kid do, like, fuck it.
It's like revenge to the other parents. Yeah. It's not even about your kid.
Oh, yeah. I know it is funny because I, Naomi did this like Little Mermaid Junior performance, and you know, it's on YouTube and we were watching it, and it's funny to see her be like so like on point to the point that she looks off because like she is going to the choreography and these other kids just cannot figure it out. Yeah. And then you're sitting there and she's in the background. And then I started getting tight for no reason. I was like, why is she, and why you got this kid singing? Put my daughter in the front. Let her be here.
Yeah, there you go, Iffy.
But I don't think Naomi would want to, like, I think she likes being in the back. I think if she had to be in front of everyone singing, she'd be like, I'm out. Nah, let me be in the back doing my thing, holding it down.
But in one way or another, she'll, whether it's singing or dancing or acting or drawing or the fuck, she'll find her way from experimenting. And then parents, we encourage that. And it's like, yeah, keep doing that. You enjoying that? But like my daughter, I remember the first time in watching a dance class where I said, Danielle, like, so Sydney's the worst dancer in this class by far, right? I'm not just don't know about dancing. And at a certain point, if she still loved it, she could still be doing it. I don't give a fuck if she loved it. But at a certain point, she looked around and realized it, like, oh, she doesn't want to be the worst dancer in the class. Yeah. But I'm wondering what age that is, because I lose perspective. I'm always just in the age that Sydney is. But as a parent watching 35 acts, you're like, come on, why can't it be 20 acts?
Yeah. We can group some of these up. Make a band or a dance group.
Is it like a once a year event?
So they say yes to everyone. So let's start one where they've cut it and we're having a meeting. I'm glad you guys came in. I know this is the first year that I didn't accept some of the acts. It was a little too long last year. It went over 2 hours. So we just needed to, I needed to cast a little bit of discretion on who, what acts we included. But what, remind me what act?
My son had the spoken word poem about the broken U.S. jail system. And I don't know why that got sidestepped in this.
The poem that didn't rhyme.
I mean, well, it's what the rhyme was, the message, you know, like that's what's really rhyming. It didn't
that's what
rhyme.
He told me. He kept yelling at me. The rhyme is the message.
Yeah. So I don't know why that wasn't in there.
It just seemed more like a rant and an opinion piece more than a poem. And he insisted it had to be the entire 10 minutes, and we do still have the 3-minute acts rule.
Well, so here's the thing. So that might not meet the requirement to be an exception, but my daughter wanted to do a dance because, you don't know if you know this, but her grandmother is Cherokee. Her grandmother was Cherokee. So my daughter wanted to do an indigenous dance that symbolized, you know, the fact that, you know, my mother was one of the first, she was a part of one of the first people being here, her tribe. And so my daughter wanted to do a dance, and the dance was 15 minutes, but you can't do it any shorter than that. Otherwise it disrespects the ancestors.
Well, so we had a child do American Pie, which is in a 10-minute song, and did a really nice 2.5-minute rendition of that.
Yeah. Okay. But American Pie is different than doing an indigenous Cherokee ancestor dance. I'm beginning to think something about these choices.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to see the through line you're trying to make here, and I agree.
Your two children would be an entire show. That just those two acts would take up an entire show.
Yeah, I don't know. Those guys, you guys are overreacting. But I do have a problem because my son, you didn't take his pitch, but my son, he was supposed to he was going to go up there and tell everybody why Trump needed to be the president for 2024. And he was going to give all that, he's going to give all the examples of why that is
it's
a talent.
Not a talent.
He's able to eloquently express why Trump will be a good president for the 3 minutes or so, because he was going to do it for three, like you said.
Well,
so,
he just screamed, "Make America great again." That is not a salient point.
Okay.
And build a wall, I guess, was his one point.
That is fine. That is fine. Everyone else is definitely, they are doing too much. They are not. But my son wanted to read Things Fall Apart, Chinua Achebe's dynamic story from start to finish for the audience. And you said it would take too long.
The first take when he showed us that, he just read it to himself.
Yeah, yes.
He wasn't even reading it to the mic.
Yes,
he was just agreeing with it loudly.
He had stage fright, but if you were to give him the chance to read all 155 pages, you would see not only would it be a great talent to
that sounds
to show
longer
this
than
child,
the indigenous dance. We cannot have that. All right, any other parents?
Yeah, so look, I can understand why you didn't take any of their children, obviously.
Okay, it's not a competition.
Okay, but...
You guys don't have to call each other out.
My daughter is a great artist, and the fact that you wouldn't let her draw the human body on stage, just the different ways that she can draw...
It was the nude. It was the accompanied adult nude we couldn't have on stage.
How can you see the talent my daughter possesses if you can't see the canvas from which she draws
Ma'am,
from?
Put your clothes back on.
Why can I keep my clothes
on? This is not an art class.
What is this?
Okay, well, look, my child has been practicing in the garage for over 2 weeks and didn't get the chance to show her talent in front of everyone. You know, she was going to, you know, go through the how many generations we are separated from the Queen, and that my cousin is the lead singer of Block Party, and you didn't give us the chance.
I thought going through a family tree.
That's a
would
talent.
Be actually a unique and interesting act, and I gave her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
But I think a lot of the branches on the tree seem very unsubstantiated, and I think it would take a lot of fact-checking before I want her to say these things.
How dare you?
You can't be related to all these famous people.
Yes, we are, you know. Like Freddie Mercury is my cousin once removed, you know. Lead singer of Block Party is my cousin, like I've already said.
Look at this. You know. Eli Whitney, James Thurber, Genghis Khan.
Yes, like Genghis. Yes, Uncle Genghis. Yes, of course. I don't know what the problem is, you know. And if that didn't work, we were going to make a schmovie on the stage, you know, but you said you can make a schmovie on the stage because then you'd have to make a schmovie for everyone.
You get the picture?
Your one word suggestion from Discord.
That would be pretty good though.
Yeah, if there was a kid who's like, my talent is making smoothies, I'd be like, rock on. Give him as much time. Give him as much time as he needs. I got to get the smoothie.
Even going, if there was a kid who like knew a lot about family trees, could talk about it in an interesting way, that would be more of a talent than dancing for techno. Or if you're going to do the cute thing, do it for 30 seconds. Do we need the 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm. And did she at least like add something where she would at least press the button and like a oh yeah, yeah or something would go off or something? Or like, did she add anything?
No.
Like a damn son, where'd you find this?
Before you edit it, I was going to be the dad of the kid who played Yellow Submarine. And then I was like, now he knows Lucy and the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the funny thing of like doing Yellow Submarine is because I feel like it is like attributed as this kid, you know, centric thing when it's really just the drug album. So, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I think that, listen, no one's saying that a kid has to be good. Like, obviously, I'm an adult and I could still understand that. Like, oh, yeah. Like, even me as an adult. But there was just something about how bad it was, right? Like, it was something about how bad it was juxtaposed with how little he was doing. Like, it's one thing to be like, well, he's trying to switch a bunch of chords and do other things, so obviously it's not working. But he seemed pretty stationary with it. So it's like he chose the chord that he chose, which was not good, and then just stayed with it, right?
And you asked a good question. Did they have to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, if you had to do it, then you'd go, okay, well, the kid, he doesn't have a talent, but he was told he had to do something in the talent show. But no, this is something the parents have to send in a video. So this is about the parents.
I mean, maybe the chooser, the person who sort of like let everybody in, he saw the video. He has to show you, like, he's like, look, the video they sent in to me of him playing Yellow Submarine, this is what it was. And you see it in, and he's like, man, this kid could be the next Eric Clapton or something. And then for some reason he got up there and just
don't say no to anyone. That's the thing. So that's what's so funny about it. It's the,
hey man, you of all people should appreciate that. Never saying no.
Oh my God. The fuck? You a character on The Brother's Son?
Yeah. Yeah, you're saying, you guys are the you're saying guys.
Oh my God. So let's go back. Since we faded to that again, let's go back to this suggestion. I'm going to give you a couple words here. Stuffed. Like I said it before. I don't know if we did anything on it. Ticks. Log jam.
When I hear stuffed, I can't stop thinking about when stuffed crust pizza first came out and they kept having that campaign where you're supposed to eat the pizza backwards. It was like, oh, you got to eat the pizza backwards. That's how you eat it. And I started eating all my pizza backwards because of that campaign. Really? And my mom would get so mad at me because I'm eating it backwards. She's like, it ain't even stuffed. Why? I'm like, you know, I never considered that you can eat pizza differently. And they never shelled out for the stuffed crust. The Waddy Way household, I would ask them for it and they'd be like, no.
Okay, and the lemonade's over there, and the beer's in the cooler. And Iffy, all I'm asking of you is just for your uncle's birthday, please don't eat the pizza in any weird way and make the birthday about you and eating pizza backwards, okay?
I don't know why I'm being
It just bugs him.
Out.
He's old school.
Okay. But also, if I may, just open the floor and ask, why would I have to change who I am for my uncle and his birthday? I think he has a birthday gift to himself, could be accepting that.
You're the only one who didn't bring something to the potluck. I told you, I just wanted one thing from you. It's just eat the pizza from the tippy small end to the wide end, like everybody else does.
Okay. I'll do it for uncle. If that's all it'll take. And because you called out the fact that I did not bring anything to this potluck, I mean, I thought I sent on the thread that I ordered a pie to get here and it looks like it didn't come. So I get something. It just, you know, I have to check in with Postmates and get my money back.
Well, we don't need a key lime pie from Minneapolis next Thanksgiving. Okay.
Hi, Iffy, I made it.
Hey,
thank you for inviting me to your uncle's party. Like, this is kind of a weird second date, but at the same time, you seem like somebody who really thinks outside the box, so I had to say yes.
Yeah, you know, I do things kind of differently, even when I'm punished for it. So, you know, I just,
Ooh, is that pizza? Can we eat this?
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead?
Get a slice. All right, everybody, let's dig into the pizza. Uncle's just a little bit late, but he'll be here pretty soon.
Okay.
Remember, it's also not a surprise party, so don't yell surprise when he walks in.
Okay. Yeah.
Iffy.
Look, I feel like any party that starts without the person the party's for being there is a surprise party. So that is on me. But I also want to, say, hey, maybe we just do what we want. Maybe today, tonight's the night where we don't let the constraints of society tell us what's good.
Everyone in the family's eye rolling at Mr. fucking Hollywood dude with all his fucking opinions. Okay, here we go. And they start to open the pizza boxes and just the smell of just fucking Mamma Mia's pizza just floats through the air and everyone's gravitating to it. It's really good pizza.
Yeah, man, if I was a cartoon, I'd be floating in the air towards this pizza, you know? But I'm going to eat it, you know?
Help yourself, everybody. We got plenty of boxes.
Yeah, going to eat from the small tippy side, like everyone keeps asking me.
We pan around the room and see every family member that knows Iffy's giving them this side eyeball and make sure he just fuck up.
The eating is completely normal from the tiny, tiny side, like we're supposed to. Yeah.
He's flipping it around and he avoids the tiny side. And he flips it around to where he's taken the edge of the crust first. Not the full middle inside of the crust, but just the edge where it is.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm eating.
Iffy.
I'm eating the pizza.
What's that motherfucker doing?
I'm eating the pizza as I should. I'm eating the pizza like it calls to me.
Eat it right. Your uncle's going to be here any minute. If he sees you eating it like that, he's going to kick everyone's ass, not just you.
Look, if that's the price I have to pay to eating pizza the delicious way, then empty my pockets.
Wait, you eat pizza from the back?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Oh.
What do you mean? Hold on. Weren't you just saying how you like my out of the box thinking and all that good stuff?
Later with her friends. From the back?
Yeah, he ate it from the back. Like
you
a psycho.
You know what that means.
No, I don't.
Guys that start with the crust, they try to eat your pussy backwards.
Okay. Well, everybody knows that's the wrong way to eat pussy.
So. I know, but I'm telling you, I used to date a guy that ate crust first, and I was willing to let it slide. But when it came to eating my pussy, I can't tolerate eating it backwards.
I'm telling you, Natalie, you are my nastiest friend for sure. It was just so weird. Like, I've never seen eating pizza from the back is so strange. Now, eating it from the middle, yeah, of course. You sever the pizza in half, and then you start, you sever it in half, you eat it. Now, if a guy ate a pizza in the middle like that, then I knew my pussy would be eating the right way. But from the back, that's so weird. It's like you're starting from the fattest part to the smallest part.
Are you going
to
go on another date with him?
Fuck no. After I saw it, even after I expressed myself, he munched on that back like I hadn't even said it. Like, it was so, I felt so awkward. I was at this family gathering. I didn't even know anybody. And then I was there with probably the most psychotic member of the family.
And they didn't see each other after that for a long time. And they met different people and they both married and went their separate ways. One of them moved across the country and then moved back after a divorce. And the other one got a divorce. And 30 years later, they both see each other across a wedding reception of a mutual friend that they didn't know was a mutual friend. Isn't that that guy that you once dated or went on a date with who ate pizza backwards? That's him.
Oh my gosh, Natalie, you have the memory of an elephant. My gosh, that is him. I mean, yeah, he has way less dreadlocks than he did before. That's definitely him.
He's coming this way. Oh my God.
Hey, do I know you from somewhere?
Ooh, girl. Yeah, see how he's negging me?
You know, I just don't want to assume. I feel like, you know, with the, I think we went on a date, but your hair was dyed blonde when we went on that date. Now you have, you know,
there's a waiter handing out hors d'oeuvres and hands out these little mini pizzas.
Yeah, we dated a long, long time ago. You invited me to your family, your uncle's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. And you thought I was a weirdo for eating my pizza backwards.
Yeah, but I was a young girl then. I just, yeah. You know, in life sometimes you have, like they used to call it icks back then. I had an ick.
Yeah.
That was it. And so,
look, I don't blame you. There was that weird rumor going around that people who eat pizza that way eat pussy backwards. And I think the truth is that we eat ass. Like that would be the one-to-one connection.
Your one word suggestion from Discord.
Okay, humans. I want to do one more, just one more scene. And I'm going to give you the word perturb. Has anything perturbed you guys lately? You want to get off your chest? You've been holding in. This is a good podcast to get it out there. What's bothering you? Ooh. Last night I saw some dude jogging in the rain. Said, fuck you jogging in the goddamn rain. Why you have to jog in the fucking rain? You just trying to get hit by a car? You can't take one night off? You have to go in the fucking, what do they call it? River, fucking air river storm, or the fucking it's called?
Yeah. I won't say this perturbs me, but I recently heard somebody and they were telling a story, and in the story they're basically saying how they had a similar routine and they've been doing that same routine of stuff for like the last, you know, 5 years or so, right? And the routine, it was like one part of their morning where they would just sort of do this. I don't know exactly what the thing is, but when somebody says something where it's like, I've been doing this thing for 5 years straight. And in my mind, I go, so there is not one day that you didn't do that thing, right? There's like out of 5 years, 365 days, there's not one day where you didn't do the thing that you, I find that so hard to believe, right? Yeah. Like, and it makes you want to sort of like start to poke holes in what some, is this like hyperbole or is it, you know, cause yeah. It's like, sure. Like, but the idea that you kind of go for 5 years straight, no, take no days off. I've been doing this thing and I haven't stopped. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
I assume the thing is something that's disciplined and good. It's not like I ate chocolate for 5 years. It's
right. Yeah. It had to do with something. It does have to do with eating, though, I think. But it is funny because it is like, oh, yeah, like every, like if it's like, oh, every day I have. You know, every day I've had a bagel and, you know, this or whatever. And it's like, okay. So in the idea of like, so if you've taken trips or been anywhere or been to like your, you know, somewhere else or, you know, been back home, visit family, visit somebody, a significant other's family or doing this type of stuff. And you've, and everywhere you've went, you've had all the materials that you've needed to sort of continue this trend for, it's just, I find that so difficult to believe. Yeah.
Right. Did you hear her? A toasted bagel with salmon every day. That's impossible. I'm going to go say something.
Yeah.
I know they moved on in the conversation, but I feel, how can you have a toaster all if it was a bagel with salmon? Even that's crazy. Salmon everywhere, fresh salmon.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, what's the mercury even, you know?
Like, but that you're buying into it, what's the mercury? That's not happening. That's not happening. Maybe a bagel every day. I can buy that. A bagel, not toasted every day, but a toasted bagel. Excuse me.
Yes.
Hi, I wasn't in your conversation, but I was sitting next to it. Okay. Did you say you ate a toasted bagel every day? Or you do eat a toasted bagel with lox, smoked salmon every day?
Oh, yeah. I said that, was that like 15 minutes ago?
Yeah. I know. I've just been ruminating on it.
Yeah, I do. I have. I eat it every day. I've ate it every day for the last 5 years.
Well, not every day.
Yes, every day. Toasted bagel, lox, salmon, every day for the last 5 years. Never missed a day at the same exact time.
You mean like almost every day? Like you've done it so much, it seems like it's every day.
Nope, 365 days and 366 on the days where there's leap years. And like I said, every day at the same time. And it's not an easy time. It's like a hard time that you can't make a mistake. So, and I wake up. And I eat it at the same time every day.
Excuse me. I know you're walking away, but.
Okay.
Fred, how do you have, you must stay in your own home and never leave your own home. And you just have all these supplies.
No.
With you at all times.
I actually travel the world. It's part of my job.
Then this is. Don't grab my arm. This is bullshit. You're lying.
Okay. Yeah. Hold on. What about the mercury? If you eat that much, you have an issue with the mercury?
No, well, because the salmon that I get is special mercury-free salmon.
Okay, okay. This is like a double-down lie. So everywhere you travel has this special mercury-free smoked salmon and a toaster available.
Okay, I would be lying if I said that. And some places where I go, I import salmon. I do that just to make sure that it's the right salmon. But a lot of places that I have the salmon that I like to eat. So hopefully that answers your question, and I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, no, don't leave yet. Here, come here. We're not done yet. I got you. Yeah. No. We got more questions.
Okay, ladies, you're being very aggressive to me.
Okay, yes.
You aggressively lied about this.
Exactly.
I tell stories all the time, and I assume just people think it's hyperbole, and they tell stories with hyperbole, and we just let it go. But the way you said it was like a fact, like you were bragging.
Because it's
hyperbole.
It is a fact.
It's hyperbole.
No, it isn't. You listen.
It's hyperbole.
This right here, this is my whole personality. If I don't wake up at the same time every day and eat the same meal, then what the fuck do I have to talk about? This is what my friends know me as. I can't let that slip away. So every day, rain, sleet, or storm, it does not matter. I wake up at the same time and I eat the same breakfast every day. And I've done that for the last 5 years. And I'm champion for it every time I walk into a room. It's the thing that people start when they introduce me. It's the thing that I'm gonna use as the forward of my book. So yeah. Yeah,
what do you mean? Of your book is the whole book about it?
Yes, the book is about having the willpower to do the same thing every day at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also, you said rain, sleet, or snow. What would that? Why would that stop you from eating salmon?
Because sometimes when I'm traveling in the world, like when I go to Antarctica or something, I have to sleep outside.
You have never been to Antarctica. Why don't you just lie and say something like Alaska?
Because
or
I
Iceland
have been to
or
Antarctica.
Greenland.
You don't know what part of Antarctica I've been to. I've been to Antarctica.
An hour later, they've separated and they're still rooming. Now I'm more mad about that whole Antarctica thing than the fucking bagels. No one goes to Antarctica. You gotta be like a fucking special scientist or goddamn Santa Claus. Are you still looking up shit about mercury?
Yeah, I'm looking up the mercury because, like, I don't think you can. I think they all got mercury. I think they all have mercury.
You don't think there isn't even, there's no mercury-free salmon that doesn't even exist?
Yeah, no, I think that's true.
All right, let's go back over there.
Yeah.
Hey, she's talking to the bride and congratulating the bride. Can we pull you away from the bride for a second?
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Hey.
Yeah.
One, you made up the whole mercury-free salmon. Yeah, yeah. That's fucking bullshit.
I Googled it. It ain't real. It ain't real.
It is real. It's you don't know the people that I know, okay?
I know people.
Yes, I know people who know how to get the mercury.
I can't Google any of them. Like they can't be found on Google.
What are you doing in Antarctica? What business do you have up there?
Yeah.
I work with a lot of people who, all right, if I tell you, can you keep a secret?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I work for the Penguin.
Oh, he's hiring? Because, you know, I heard Batman be real strict with the hiring, so.
And scene, humans. Excellent callback that only a hard-ass improviser.
Oh, yeah.
A real tough improviser.
Real like
Ronnie.
Stickler.
Iffy. Mm-hmm. Hard-ass.
That's how you bring it all connectivity, everybody.
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
This is edited in a way, Brett, where that shows.
Yeah. It's up to you, Brett. Power is in your hands.
It's up to you, Brett. Turn this into gold. Humans, Ronnie, where can we see you to see you do improv live?
Oh, yeah. You can always go to Bones Adrian. That's where you'll be able to see the place that I'm performing. I'm on a couple of teams over at the UCB Theater, the big team, obviously Bangarang, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the big team, we have some stuff coming up, different shows and stuff that we got coming up. So just stay tuned for that. Also, special shout out, because I always come on here, and when I give my socials, I always make the point that nobody ever says anything nice to me about being on this thing. And I have to say, from the last time I said it, people have reached out to me just to tell me that they do like what I've been doing. So for those select few, thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. A thing I will also say that I point out is that they do not listen to the episodes on time, because they definitely was like way later to be like, hey, just heard you on this podcast. And I just want to say, and I'm like, didn't I do that like months ago?
Improv for Humans is evergreen, Humans. That's what makes it great. But we'll talk about that in a second. Iffy, what do you want to plug? You are on the road a lot.
Yeah. If you Waddy Way on Twitter and Instagram, I'll be bouncing around. That's where you'll know what shows. But like Ronnie said, you can catch me at any of those big team shows doing improv. Trying to get a good word in with the artistic director to probably get on an ASCAT or something. But we'll see when that happens, depending on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, right?
You don't do ASCAT?
Yeah, no. The just getting overlooked by artistic directors at the theater. But you know. Who eventually, who knows? For all my stand-up stuff, I'm posting it on social. I'm actually on Dropout, just announced new host. So definitely new season will be coming out on the 27th of February. So check that out.
A lot of good stuff on there. Improv for Humans for Humans. Improv4humans.com. We have so much good stuff, Brett. I like the videos I'm posting and talking about. I feel like that's worth price of admission.
Yeah,
but we got a lot of ad-free bonus content or bonus scene on each episode, and lots of new podcasts that are just unique to Improv for Humans. Doing
our last episode had like a 20-minute bonus scene or something.
Ooh,
they're substantial.
Solid.
Hear these. Yeah,
solid. On my last Besser's Attic, I took out the. From the attic, the show I did with Method Man and Red Man called Stung.
Yeah.
And I did all the backstories on that. I feel like I've talked to Ronnie about that at some point.
Oh, and I love that.
It's amazing.
But yeah, go there. Exclusive content. $40 a year, Humans. And keep being human.
Improv for Humans is produced by Matt Besser and Brett Morris. Please rate and review wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free archives, bonus scenes from the new episodes, exclusive Discord access, new deep dive podcasts into the craft of improv, plus music and sci-fi bonus shows and premium limited series. Go to improvforhumans.com and sign up for the Roll of Four plan, only $4 a month, or $40 a year. By subscribing, you are giving us the ability to pay our brilliant guests, and giving us all a platform for more interaction, and lots more comedy.